And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, on this sixth day of Christmastide, the church leads us to continue our reflections on the Incarnation, that is, the truth that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. At morning prayer, the birth narrative from St. Luke is read once again. And the gospel lesson for the Eucharist today is St. Matthew's birth narrative. But today I want us to consider the theological reflections of St. Paul from our epistle lesson. These are dense and deep thoughts, and each line builds on the previous one. In essence, the apostle reflects on the when, the who, and the why of the Incarnation. We begin with the when of the Incarnation. St. Paul writes, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son." This reminds us that Jesus Christ came into the world at the precise time appointed by his Father. The initiative for mankind's salvation came from God alone. Some 15 months before the birth of Christ, God set things in motion by sending the angel Gabriel to a priest named Zacharias while he was ministering in the temple. He told him that his wife Elizabeth, who had been barren and older, was going to bear a son who would be the forerunner for the Messiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And 6 months later, the same angel appeared to the virgin named Mary and announced to her that she had been chosen by God to bring forth his son, the Messiah, into the world. This was to be the climax of God's promises to ancient Israel. Their Messiah, whom they had been waiting for since the days of Abraham, was about to arrive. God even orchestrated the place of his birth by moving Caesar Augustus to call for a census, which would bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem to be counted. In this timing, Mary would bring forth her son in the appointed place prophesied by Micah hundreds of years before. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel." It was also in the fullness of the time, in the sense that the world had been prepared for the Messiah's arrival. Just a few hundred years before this, Alexander the Great had sought to Hellenize the ancient world, basically to bring the influence of the Greeks to every place that he conquered. For our purposes, that meant that most of the ancient world spoke Greek, so that the gospel, which was to be for all people, could be heard and understood. Furthermore, at this point in time, the Romans had brought peace and had built extensive trade routes and roads so that the missionaries could then travel and proclaim the good news about Christ throughout the world. This is the when of the Incarnation. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son. This leads us to reflect on the who of the Incarnation. The apostle writes, "But in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman." If you listen carefully to that statement, you will see that the apostle is asserting that he was the Son of God before he was the son of Mary. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Of course, this is completely consistent with what the prophet Isaiah had said hundreds of years in advance. We heard it in our gospel lesson this morning. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." St. Matthew actually then goes on to give us the interpretation of this name, Emmanuel, which is God with us. The one born to Mary is God with us. The same truth was foretold just two chapters later in Isaiah's writings, where he says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is also in harmony with what the angel Gabriel had told the Blessed Virgin at the Annunciation. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son. But while St. Paul asserts our Lord's divinity in our text, he also sets forth his humanity. For he was born of a woman, born under the law. The astonishing truth of the Incarnation is that the eternal Son of God left his home in glory to come among us. The apostle unfolds this in another letter where he says that Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. The Son became Emmanuel through the Virgin Mary. She brought him forth without human operation. Notice that St. Paul does not mention St. Joseph in this equation, because even though he became Christ's guardian and earthly father, he was not involved in his conception. In fact, it is rather odd to include this phrase, born of a woman. After all, what child is not born of a woman? But upon closer reading, this phrase is likely echoing the prophecy from Isaiah regarding the virgin bringing forth a son, as well as an even older prophecy, a prophecy made to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, where the Lord told him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Here is the birth of the seed of the woman who came to deliver mankind from its ancient foe. This leads us to reflect finally on the why of the Incarnation. Why did the Son of God come among us in the fullness of time? St. Paul writes, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Here the apostle sets forth our great benefit on account of the Incarnation in two words, redemption and adoption. The word redemption in the ancient world was used in association with the concept of slavery, the idea of buying one out of slavery. In the preceding chapter of this same letter, he talks about how Israel was under the law, likening it to their 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They were under the law in the sense that they had broken God's law and deserved the punishment for doing so. And of course, the same can be said of all of mankind. We have all broken God's law and therefore are in slavery to sin. But this is precisely why the Son of God came among us, to redeem us from slavery to sin. He came under the law as the true Israelite. He was circumcised on the eighth day, which obligated him to keep the entire law. And that he did, not for any need of his own, but for us. He would say later in his ministry, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he kept it, every jot and tittle. He fulfilled every commandment. But he did not stop there. He went so far as to bear the curse of the law, which was due to us. The wages of sin is death, and that he bore and even swallowed up for us. And the cost of our redemption was his precious blood. The Son of Man gave his life on the cross as a ransom for many. That alone would be enough for slaves to be redeemed, set free from sin and death. But he did not stop there. He redeemed us in order that we might be adopted as God's children, from slaves to sons and daughters. Talk about the ultimate rags to riches story. This is the climax of the gospel, that sinners who were enslaved and on death row would be purchased out of this sad state and exalted into the family of God. This is the ultimate message of Christmas, and it should fill our hearts with joy and with hope. So let us rejoice in the fact that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to accomplish our redemption and our adoption. And let us live the rest of our lives befitting that of the sons and daughters of God. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."